Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. I'm really excited to welcome back to our program today best-selling author Rachel Houck. We're going to talk to her not only about her new book, The Wedding Chapel, but what it's been like for her to not only create characters that are entertaining, but also allow us to kind of look inside of ourselves and think about situations we find ourselves in. She's been very good at writing stories that not only deal with a family forgiveness and faith, but also how each one of us can be the best of ourselves each day, with a little help, of course. If you're just now finding out about Rachel, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can stay connected with her and all the great things she has planned for 2016. But Rachel, hello to you and welcome back to the program.
Hello, Cyrus. Thank you for having me. Merry Christmas.
Hey, same to you, Rachel. And thank you so much for this time. I mean, I went back and listened to our last conversation that we had together, which is hard to believe. It was in April of last year. And, of course, so much has happened for you since then. I mean, you've been
so
busy.
It's been a while.
Exactly right. And so, I mean, you know, let's talk about this year for you, Rachel. I mean, what has it been like for you as you've been able to not only do what you love as a storyteller, but the way you've been able to hear from your fans along or from around the world along the way?
Yeah, it has been. If it's been since April of last year, I had a book come out earlier this year called How to Catch a Prince, which was just such a journey in love and endurance, because I ran into a physical issue while writing that book, and I'm here to testify that God is the God of all things. And then I have heard from a lot of readers about just how the stories have touched them, how just being able to see God invade these characters' lives, which is one of the things I love to do, is kind of try to show as organically as possible how God touches our hearts and lives, even through the generations. And hearing people say, you know, I love my husband more after reading your story, or I didn't think the gospel had anything, had anything in it for me anymore, and I read your book, and I sat and prayed for a long time. Or recently, my latest release, The Wedding Chapel, a woman wrote me and said she had a very hard relationship with her father, and actually a broken relationship with her father, and one of the characters in The Wedding Chapel was in a similar situation. And after reading it and reading the scene where my character Jack came to reconciliation about his earthly father, she just said, I just sat and cried, and I received healing in my own heart. So I think some of those things are what make the job really worth it.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned that journey of faith and the power of the Gospels and how you're able to weave them into your book that really shows itself in The Wedding Dress, Rachel. But also when you and I were on last time, we were discussing Princess Every After. That was the book that we were discussing at that time. You know, I think, you know, the amazing thing about you as a storyteller, and you just referenced it when you mentioned Jack, because I was going to bring up Jack a little bit later, actually, because you have been able to write books, and I tell especially our male audience, and especially our male readers with our book club, that, you know, you can't always judge a book by its cover. You can't say because there is a female on the cover of the book that that's not a book that you will read, because you are a great example, Rachel, of writing books that not only have very, you know, very well fleshed out women, but also men as well. Has that been one of the interesting things along this journey, to hear from men how your stories have touched them as well?
Yeah, I don't hear from them as much as I would like, so I really super appreciate you saying that. It really touches my heart. I do have a couple of male readers. I have one black African-American reader, and so I love talking to him, because in Princess Ever After, of course, I had a black character and who was working with Regina, my heroine, and he was a great sounding board for me. And my original sketch of that character, he was like, oh, no, Rachel, no, you cannot write that man that way. And I said, well, then help me out. And so I love men. I think I'm a guy's girl, so far as that goes, as friends, and I have brothers. And so I really try to understand men and write them in a way that seems realistic on the page, both to the female readers and the male readers, should any of them happen to pick up a book with a bride on the front of it.
Right.
Or a princess, you know.
Exactly. Well, you know, and I think that's the thing. And I was kind of taken to task this year, and it was good for me, because I had made a comment to an author who I definitely respect, and I had made a comment to her about, you know, having characters that men can relate to. And she says, well, you know, why is it has to be, you know, because I'm a woman that I have to relate to, you know, to men? Why can't everyone just pick up my books? And I was like, you know what? I feel exactly the same way. You know, I think there are some guys, though, that feel like, well, you know, I can't walk around with that book. You know, people might, you know, might look at me funny. But I will say this about, especially the Wedding Chapel and Jack, is that we all either know Jack or we have been Jack. We know what it's like to be in a place where we just don't know. I mean, we don't know if, you know, if we're worthy of love. We don't know if love will ever find us for whatever reason. And I love the fact that you're able to create a character like that that is so us. Do you think that's even, and I think probably your background in journalism probably has a big part to do with this as well, Rachel. Don't you think that to help you really make these people real?
Yeah, definitely the ability to ask nosy questions and to really study people. I think all authors have to be a study of human character. And even when I was a kid, I was a Donny Osmond fan. And so I would make up in my head stories about, oh, I ran into Donny Osmond, and oh, and snap, I'm in Teen Beat or Tiger Beat, whatever the magazines were of the day. And, you know, so I was always kind of in this world of building pretend relationships. And then being in the ministry, now I'm married to a pastor, having a journalism background where you're asking questions, who, what, when, where, why, and how. We play, all of those things come into play when you're writing a story. And when I was in the corporate world, I traveled a lot. I met people from Australia to Spain to Venezuela to Ireland to Canada. And so I was able to, like, look at life from all these different aspects. And just I'm fascinated by people. And so I think that's what I try to really put on the page is, real people with real struggles, but who know a real God.
Right. And I think that is it. And I think that, again, is the common denominator. You know, they all have this journey. Did you know going into, because it seems like I heard you say in an interview, you and I had not talked about the book, The Wedding Dress, Rachel, but it seemed like I heard you say in an interview that parts of that story you didn't realize were going to develop until you actually started. And that was, you know, the way that the gospel is kind of interwoven into that. I mean, do you find that kind of the interesting thing about writing these books is that sometimes, you know, they do take a course that maybe you didn't expect?
Oh, absolutely. I don't start out, for me anyway, with the spiritual theme or thread. I kind of say, okay, God, I'm writing these characters. If I'm found in you and these characters are in me, therefore the characters are found in you, what is it that you would like to say through them to the reader? Holy Spirit, like, have your way. And I don't like just sit down and just let it fly. I know that there's labor, and I work very hard at developing characters. I pray through all of it. But, yeah, sometimes you're just riding along, and all of a sudden a character says something, and it just hits you between the eyes. Sometimes I'll just tear up and go, okay, there's something on here. What is this? And I love that process. I love discovering what is it, God, that you want to say through these characters. Who are these characters, and how do they impact me? How can they impact the reader? So I think you have to leave that open. I think if you're overly planned, then there's no room for that. But if you're not planned at all, if you're totally by the seat of your pants, and a lot of authors do that, and my hat's off to them, but I can't do that completely, then you're so busy discovering the story, you can't really find those gems. You know, if you're so busy carving the path, you don't have time to look and see what the flowers are, or what kind of trees there are, or where the sun's falling through the trees, and where your light is. So that's why I kind of like a blend of, God, where am I going? This is my plan. Direct my steps. Very Proverbs 3 of me.
Yeah. I think that is it, and I think that is it, and that is it really. I think what all of the characters had to realize about the importance of being guided and being led in the right direction. And sometimes, you know, it was difficult. You know, you look at what happened with Colleen and Jimmy. I mean, you know, I think, you know, it really shows that, you know, when it comes to life, when it comes to love, and when it comes to forgiveness, that there is no expiration date on it. And as long as there's breath in our bodies, that we all have an opportunity for redemption as well. I mean, you mentioned earlier some of the responses to some of the books, including to this one, Rachel. Does that make it even more worthwhile for you, knowing that not only are you doing something that you love, that you know that you were put here to be able to do, but that so many people are getting the great messages and being entertained by them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because I think, as you know, writing is a solitary life. And so you sit at your desk all day long. I do have writer buddies that I can stay in touch with. But you don't know, is the book making an impact? So to anyone who's listening, if a book made an impact on you, please let the author know. They really do want to hear from you. But it does make it worthwhile, and it reminds me that this journey is bigger than I am. So when a book releases and maybe sales are slow at the beginning, or, you know, you're not getting the reviews that you want or whatever, I go, okay, God, this is yours. Do with it what you will. And if it's just one person that their life is impacted, to me that's a reward. That's better than any, you know, award or acclaim or whatever, because that person's life has changed. And it would take me forever to reach the woman in Indonesia who decided to love her husband more, or the woman in Poland who said, you know, I read The Wedding Dress, and now I know there's more in the Gospels for me, and I sat and prayed for a long time. You know, how many years as a missionary would it have taken me to reach that woman? And I love our missionaries. I cheered them on. But I think that's the power of fiction, and that is a huge reward for us.
Let's talk about your love of history, because that's something that continually has come up in books of yours that I have read. I mean, have you always known that you wanted to intertwine that into your work, Rachel, being able to take us back to not only, I think, to a different place, but ironically to a time that still shows us, you know, how interconnected we are, and how that people maybe in the 1940s, how they dealt with things just as we do today?
You know, I actually, that was a business decision, believe it or not. And so I think that's still part of the journey and part of the process. I had read Susan Meisner's Shape of Mercy, and that was the first time I had seen a dual timeline, something historical set aside a contemporary storyline. And I loved it. I thought it was completely fascinating because it seemed to make what was happening in the past in history resonate all the way to the future, like it's not forgotten. And then the contemporary heroine looking backwards and trying to figure out what was going on there and how does it impact my life today? How can I learn from it? So from that point on, I was hooked on that style of writing and that kind of composure of the novel. And I do think it's really important. I do love history. I think we need to learn from history and not make the mistakes of the past, though many times we do. But for individuals to look back in their family and go, where has God blessed my family? Or where have we left the Lord? Or where have we left righteousness? Or where have we made a different turn or a wrong turn? And how can we right that? Or where did we make a right turn? And how can we stay on that path? And so I think it adds so much value to our lives when we can hear the stories of the past. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to do with these characters and show, hey, you're not here just in a vacuum. There's a whole long journey, and ultimately God is in charge of that journey, and I think there's a lot of peace in that.
Right. I think that is so true. The other thing I want to mention, I mentioned earlier about Jack Rachel. I want to talk about Taylor for a moment, because one of the interesting things about Taylor, or, you know, it's funny. I kept thinking, every time I would think about that one character in the book that called her, I think, the girl with the camera.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, every time I thought about that, I thought about the ability to be able to capture a moment and to be able to have that moment and to be able to savor that moment. I think that also for me was one of the things that I wanted to take away from the book for myself, was that, you know, how we can all do that. We can all be able to appreciate where we are, appreciate what we have, and to be able to recognize that. I mean, was that something going in that you knew you wanted to bring in, or was that something also that developed with the story?
I think it just kind of developed as I wrote her story. I kind of had a high-level idea of what her wound was, that thing that was going to be healed throughout the journey, and what kind of epiphany I needed her to have. But the rest of it just kind of came out with a story. And you know what happens a lot of times, Silas, is someone will say, oh, I saw this in the character, and I'm like, that's fantastic. I never even thought of it. And so there's always those elements. And I think that's when the story speaks to itself, for itself, excuse me, and the story should leave place for the reader to go into the story and journey with the characters and come out maybe with their own conclusions or with their own sentiments and their own feelings about it. And so I think that's just one of those things about Taylor. As she journeyed through, she's going to speak to different people in different ways.
Yeah, I think that is so true. I also think, you know, regardless of whether we're talking about the characters like Colette and Jimmy, or we're talking about Jack and Taylor, it shows us again, you know, that there really is no age limit, you know, when it comes to life lessons and what we can learn. And that it never is too late, you know, for forgiveness and being able to move forward. And I think, you know, I had questions for myself as to, if Jimmy and Colette would get to that place, you know, and sometimes you think that individuals with age, that things would become easier for them because they realize and appreciate, you know, that you're able to learn from things. But, you know, when there are big things involved, I think it goes to show, you know, how we have to be so careful. But I think also the parallel, Rachel, in thinking about you as a storyteller was, you know, how many times our Heavenly Father does that for us. You know, he forgives us,
yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
We're able to move forward. And I think, you know, that's one of the great, beautiful lessons about this book.
Yeah, I really think that. And, you know, when people grow older, sometimes it's real easy to say, well, we're just stuck in our ways and we don't want to change anything. Let's just leave the past in the past. And many, many times that's really what we're called to do. You know, Paul says, I forget what lies behind and press forward to what lies ahead. But I think in this case, there was a true pledge between Jimmy and Colette, and it wasn't realized in the normal time frame. Like most people meet and fall in love, and within a year or two or maybe five, something comes of it. But in their case, it was many, many, many years. And so I think that there's always that hope in love. There's always that hope in the Lord. And, yes, definitely this is a story of forgiveness and how to let go of bitterness, because bitterness and forgiveness really destroyed their lives. And if it wasn't for love, I don't know if they would have ever recovered.
Right. I think that is it. You know, I know that, as I said, you know, there have been, you know, so much great buzz around the wedding dress. Now you have the wedding chapel. I know, of course, that there's more to come that you have planned for 2016. We'll be telling our audience how they can stay connected with you to keep up with all of that. Do you find, I mean, as you are doing this and you're loving it, does the idea of, you know, the way people are taking it in, Rachel, does that in any way affect you in the process? I guess what I mean by that is, for myself, I tell people all the time, what I do doesn't feel like work because it's, I love
right.
what I do. It's fun for me. But then when I start thinking about the numbers and someone asking me about, well, you know, those kind of
yeah.
things are like, you know what, that's not too fun for me to focus on that. You know, how do you keep it fun for you?
Wow, you're right. That's the challenge, is to, one, not look at, you know, the numbers, the ratings, the sales units, the dollar amounts, or, you know, comparing myself to other authors. Oh, I thought my book was as good as theirs, and they're getting all this acclaim. What did I do wrong? You know, and you immediately begin to go down that spiral. And the Lord has just really moved in my heart over the last few years of, like, don't go there. Because what I have for you is contained within my giftings and callings for you. And I haven't called you to do what they're doing. And you don't have any idea where they're going to be next year. You know, over the years, I've been doing this a full-time 11 years. The authors that were at the top of the game when I came on, some of them aren't even around anymore. And so I have just made a decision within my heart that I love what I do. There isn't anything else I want to do or feel called to do. And I'm going to do this until the Lord says otherwise. I'm going to just do it unto him, because he's ultimately our great reward. Genesis 15:1, where he says to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. And there's no higher reward than that. And so I just kind of try to keep lifting my gaze, you know what I mean, and keep going, okay, God,
right.
This is what you've called me to do. You can take care of the rest. And I find that it's way more enjoyable when I do that, and when I just love hearing from the readers and focus on that, focus on my job. And sure, there are moments when I say, okay, Lord, yeah, this is my job. Can I have a raise? You know? Or can I see a little bit more reward? And you know what, to be honest, when I started asking for the reward, I started seeing a little bit more. I started seeing a greater return. And writing is 25-year overnight success business. So there are one or two authors that come out of the chute, you know, blazing guns, and do well and stay doing well. Tamara Alexander is somebody that comes to mind. She just started off a hit, and she's just doing gangbusters. She's amazing, beautiful author. But, you know, it took me a while to climb up the hill. I'm good friends with author Debbie Maycumber, and when she said to me, Rachel, I was a 25-year overnight success, that just really settled the issue in my heart, like, stay with it. You know, you're just getting started. You know, when you hit the 20-year mark and 50 or 60 or 100 books, then you can start going, okay, what's going on here? You know, so I'm in for the long haul.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there, Rachel. I'm totally with you there. And I think that is what brings people to you time after time, and that's why they will continue to come. Again, everyone, the new book is The Wedding Chapel. As I said, Rachel has a lot of great things going on for 2016 that are already in the works. Rachel, how can our audience stay connected with you to keep up what's coming up next?
They can come to my website, which is the easiest way, www.rachelhauck.com. From there you can find me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram or whatever your favorite social media haunt might be. Or just stop by the website and browse around and see what books are coming out. We have another wedding book coming out next year called The Wedding Shop. And I just love this story. It's set in the same town, Hart's Bend, as The Wedding Chapel, but it's about a 112-year-old wedding shop. And it's been closed for quite a few years, and it's how the shop comes back to life. And it's a dual timeline story again, set in 1930 and 2016. And the 1930 timeline is really lots of drama, and it's just really fun and fascinating. And so I think readers will really enjoy that one. And I'm doing another royal book called A Royal Christmas Wedding, and this is from two characters in Once Upon a Prince, Avery and Colin. And a lot of readers were like, oh, are Avery and Colin going to get together? Well, let's read the book and find out. But that'll be coming out next October. So I think people will really enjoy it.
I'm sure. So a lot for us to look forward to. Again, everyone, rachelhauck.com is the website for our listeners to go to this. H-A-U-C-K is the last name there. So make sure you all stay connected with Rachel on her website. And as she said, you can find all her social media there as well. I wanted to close with one thing that you had in Jamie's chapter 11, Rachel, and that was the metaphor for life that you included with him, thunder in the night, but sunshine in the morning. And hopefully our audience will continue to be able to look forward to the sunshine and not focus so much on the thunder. And I think that's what the characters were able to do, to stop looking behind, to look forward to the day and what is to come. And we look forward to what's coming up for you. So thank you so much, Rachel, again for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure. Merry Christmas to you and to all the listeners.
Oh, thank you, Rachel. We know we appreciate that, and Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you.
We thank your audience for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live, whether you're joining us on the radio side of our program or online. We're glad you all could tune in. If you're joining us online, though, we do have the link to this conversation already on social media, so you can head over to facebook.com/CyrusWebb or go to twitter.com/CyrusWebb. I've tagged Rachel on both places, on her Facebook fan page as well as her Twitter handle, to make it easy for you all to find it there. So make sure you guys stay connected with her. Also, of course, make sure you get the book. It's available through our friends at Amazon.com. Again, The Wedding Chapel is the title, and since you all will probably have some free time coming up over the next several days, make sure you all pick up some other titles from Rachel there as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.